Hi and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is episode 18. This is Andrew.
This is the Barcelona side that beat Manu.
Oh! And this is Douglas.
I hurt my foot on my elbow.
Oh, Champions League was today.
How did it go?
For any of you who didn't see it, Manu lost, unfortunately.
Fortunately.
What was the score?
It was 2-0 Barcelona.
2 what?
2-0 Barcelona.
Love. What does that mean again?
Zero.
Zero!
So you guys had no real presence in the match other than allowing 2 goals.
Oh,
is
really?
That what you're trying to say?
Wait, was there... Can you at least say it like my side? That, you know, the ref stole it from you,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, the ref gave some unfair calls.
Yeah?
It was terrible marking on the first goal. Terrible marking on the second goal. Your team outplayed them. They just got 2 quick goals on like a counter-attack. No?
Nothing like that?
Oh, so did you guys even show? Was there another team physically on the pitch?
I saw you left the white shirt on the field.
I watched a match on... Was it Sunday or Saturday? I can't remember which one. But, I mean, I saw Manchester United on the field and I was like, I don't know any of these players. Yes. And it just says, oh, that's because they're resting up the real side for on Wednesday when they'll beat Barcelona.
So the boss with the real side didn't get there.
No. Okay.
Just making sure. I saw Fergie's suit. Wasn't as impressive as last season. Last season, he wore the suit he wore last season versus Arsenal. And you guys won against Arsenal only to take the final step. And be completely destroyed.
Okay, I mean...
So that's what I've been watching.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that, because I know it's either to give you 5 minutes of that, or you'd go on for the entire 2 hours.
I don't know.
We still will, don't worry.
Yeah.
Anytime we can get, you know, quick stabs.
Anyways, this week I couldn't figure out a discussion, so we're going to just go through what we watched, and we'll get into our classic film. This week we'll be talking about Citizen Kane. And we'll go through news trailers and then our feature review of The Class.
You know what I think?
What?
I think we should figure out a discussion as we go along.
Really? I don't know. Alright, whatever.
Yes. Alright, Douglas, since you're up on it, you start.
I start what?
Start the discussion.
Yes. What have you been watching?
What have I been watching? Yeah. Anything interesting? I saw the first episode of Father Ted the other day. I shouldn't say very old, probably early 90s.
Hang on a second. That is very old.
I actually watched the first episode the other day as well.
Oh, you saw it as well?
It was last night. I was fiddling with the laptop and I was playing it off the network. It was interesting.
It was hilarious, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, a lot of it was, you know, having it up, but that's how a lot of comedies are. Like, for example, Father... What's his name? Not Frank. Father... The guy that goes,
fuck,
fuck, fuck. I was watching Father Ted, and you know, feck man hams it up a little bit, but I'm feck fine
man.
With that. Yeah, feck man, feck, not fuck, feck. Anyway, so the show is pretty decent, I think. It's really funny. It has an actor who actually... So, I was watching the show, and I didn't know most of the actors, except for one. I knew one of them. He was... I don't even really venture a guess. I think he's Irish. And he has been in quite a few, like, comedy-type stuff. Something that I have seen him in... I don't know his name, but, hey, whatever. Something I have seen him in that is kind of recent... I don't know how recent it is, though. Is a superhero comedy, where he's a superhero... And he has a family, and you know, he goes out and does his superhero stuff, and then he comes back, and I don't know, it's kind of strange. Not extremely funny, but you know, okay to watch every once in a while. I used to watch it before I got my job and went to work. I'd watch it during the day because really? Much else to do. So yeah, he was in it, whoever he is.
I have no clue who you're talking about.
I think he's
about,
Doyle
okay.
in the show, right? Father Doyle or something like that?
The only okay...
The stupid one.
No, the stupid one. I didn't really get the names when I was watching it, so I've forgotten them already.
Yeah, me too. yeah, so that show is, I think, funny. And even though I'm going around and around and around and not actually describing anything to anybody, you guys should watch it.
Alright, just for anyone who doesn't know, right? It's an Irish sitcom, right? It involves
and
this
priests.
Household in which there are three priests, right? There's the one who is actually trying to be a sensible priest. There's Doyle, I think. We're going to call him Doyle for now, who's a complete idiot. He thinks... He confuses dreams and reality, right?
He had to give him a diagram
that said dreams are in your head, outside reality.
And then he says, oh, I remember this. And then he looks at it for a second and he's like, wait a second. I think I need to take this and study for a little bit.
And then they have the really old, drunk, out of his mind priest who shouts feck. I mean,
his name is like Harry or Hank or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah,
Frank.
There you go.
This is a show that my friend Michelle's been telling me about for a long time because she used to live in Ireland for a while and she saw it and she loved it. I'm going to try and watch it, but it's been put on the back burner for now because there's other TV series I want to go through.
Yeah, Buffy. Have you finished with Buffy?
I actually completed season 6 this week. There's one more season.
Oh, yippee.
Joss Whedon.
Tell
you. You have another fan.
Just to let you know, I also watched Firefly recently and I didn't like that much.
I'm shocking. how you'd find the better of the series.
Have you seen Buffy?
I don't need to say Buffy.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So anything else you've been watching this week, Douglas?
What have I been watching? I've been watching... What did I watch?
We went to that movie, Night at the Museum 2.
I saw Night at the Museum 2. I've been watching 24. I still have one more episode to watch. I'm really far behind. You know, it kind of finished about 2 weeks ago.
So what did you think of Night at the Museum?
Night at the Museum? I thought it was a fun little movie. Nothing spectacular, but it was okay. Would I watch it over, say, Angels and Demons? Yes. Would I watch it
over, say, a good movie?
Probably not. But no, I read your, was it your, no, it wasn't your review that I read and it said this. I read somebody else's review and it said that, you know, if you're a Ben Stiller fan, you love it. If you have kids and you need to find a good all-around movie to watch, you love it. Otherwise, it's worth a rent.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a good point. But, yeah. Damon?
Oh, it's my turn. Alright, so, first of all, I've been watching sports. We've spoken about Champions League. It's kind of obvious. Basketball, the playoffs are going on. LeBron James getting owned, which I'm happy to see.
Which team does he play for again?
He plays for the Cavaliers.
I don't watch basketball.
Right. So Cleveland is playing Orlando, and Cleveland has the new Jesus in basketball. They call him LeBron James, and he's very good, but Orlando is not having any of it. And Kobe and Denver are battling it out to see who will get to play the Magic in the final. Outside of that, I've seen a couple movies. I haven't seen any series now that all my favorite series are done. 30 Rock, they've cancelled.
Cancelled, my name is Earl.
My name is Earl.
Small. You know, 30 Rock, I still don't watch the finale yet.
And
that's in the office.
And Scrubs, those are my four, because I mean, I work. I have to narrow it down. Something. It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
True Blood is coming back soon.
Sure. I find a lot of Wolverine. And you're going to skip right past that.
Yeah. We really should. Yeah. I told you the same thing before, he wouldn't listen to me. I told you, I guess you didn't listen to me either.
I hope there's a Deadpool movie and a director with sense directs that movie.
There's going to be a Deadpool movie.
Yeah. But I hope a good director actually signs on. And good writers signs on to
I'm
get
not
that
sure
movie.
If I want Ryan. I love Ryan Reynolds, but I'm not sure if.
No, I'd take Ryan Reynolds.
He's good enough. What else have I seen? I watched a lot of westerns the past week because my mom stayed home and she enjoys her westerns. So I sat down and watched a lot of them with her. I saw High Noon, which is.
I saw that movie a long while ago. I didn't really like it that much.
Middling at best.
Which one is High Noon?
There's this big criminal who's coming back, and he's coming on the noon train. And the previous sheriff just got married, and he was leaving the town when he heard that this guy is coming back. And so he turned around and went back, because the new sheriff wouldn't be there until the following day. And his wife wasn't having any of it. So she left him. I mean, they were married for about 2 seconds.
She left him, and I'm sure he died, you know, fighting the guy.
I mean, I don't know how many people I've seen it, so I don't really want to give away the ending. But it's not spectacular. I mean, it's okay. But it's a Western.
Yeah.
But then I saw Fistful of Dollars, A Few More Dollars. We saw Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Like, I was trying to skip all the madness and just watch the really awesome. And, yeah. I mean, we need more. I can't believe we're, like, 3:10 Yuma is, like, the last Western that has come out recently.
Yeah, or at least the last big and good one.
Right. Oh, there was Appaloosa.
That was shit.
No. Which is why I said I included
good. That, again, that one's middling. It wasn't bad. Renee Zellweger tried a lot. To make that movie suck, but that movie wasn't that bad. But we should have more Western. We should have more. I mean, the formula is so easy.
Dirt.
Right.
Dirt.
Right.
Boy boots. Men that's acting like men.
People who don't bathe. Right. Hot sun and guns. I don't understand why.
Wait,
don't
wait,
you
sorry.
Have more?
You've forgotten a very important piece of it.
What?
Liquor.
Oh.
Whiskey?
No, that's just men acting like men. Around that thing. I'm really amused how people talk in Westerns. Right? Everything's so definite. Like, there's no middle ground. I'm gonna leave. Are you sure you want that? Yes. There's no tears. There's no try to have other people understand you. No, you just know what you need to do and you go and do it. And but outside of Western, I mean, those Westerns, I think everybody should have seen it. And if you haven't seen High Noon, you can pass. But if you have Fistful of Dollars, Few More Dollars, and Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, I mean, get off your ass.
I've been meaning to watch it for a while.
I mean, you're wasting time. Like, three of the best Westerns.
I have the DVDs here to watch. I haven't gotten around to it.
What else have I seen?
You saw Hedwig. You told me you saw Hedwig.
Yes, I saw Hedwig. These two... Douglas likes it a lot. Andrew. Not really. This isn't my type of movie at all. When these guys reviewed it, and I didn't because I'm worthless, said that... the music didn't really make up for some of the other failings of the movie.
No. I said the music made up.
Right, the music made up for some of the other failings of the movie. Douglas didn't see them because he was engrossed in the entire experience. I wasn't a fan of the music. There was like one song that kind of made me laugh, and I don't remember the name. The movie wasn't really shot that well. I mean, it's just not... Because what the movie is, it's a musical, and if you're not a fan of the music, there's just nowhere to go from there. There's nothing else to... I tried to like the movie because these guys like the movie. And so, I mean, if I saw this movie on TV, this movie would have gotten about 10 minutes tops. Because the second I heard the music, I'd have gone, no. I think it's the same problem I have with the Repo Man movie. I don't know, maybe I have a problem with...
Musicals in general. Maybe.
In general, I don't know.
I liked Repo Man.
I know you liked it, but again, I don't know. And like, I don't know if it's a like musical genre thing, because I really don't think that have anything to do with it. Because I'm pretty sure I'd probably hate a rap musical, because it'd probably be bad. I don't know.
No, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. No, we don't need have one. Dear God, no.
Unless of course you call 8 Mile.
What else have I seen? I don't know. I think that's about it. It's about all. So it's a lot of Westerns. Hedwig and Wolverine.
You know what I saw this just the other day? Before Sunset. That was an awesome movie.
Tell me about that.
For like the 10th time that I've seen it now.
We spoke about Before Sunrise before, and I saw Before Sunset. Ask, which one do you like more?
That already, and I don't know what to tell you. You know me, I love this. Well, first of all, the first movie has more of a early 90s, late 80s feel, of course, because that's when it was made. Kind of.
Ish.
Yeah. It also has this, you know, crazy, one crazy night type of feel, which I love as well, which they didn't have so much in the second, though it was a similar type of movie. It also had, you know, these two young people getting to know each other and, you know, kind of getting into a little bit of mischief and just running around being like, ooh, we're crazy. But in the second one, it was more like, I'm not sure how to act around you because you screwed me 10 years ago or whatever it was. Well, whatever reason it was, you know, they weren't sure how to act around each other. You said this to me, that a lot of the conversation was forced, at least in the beginning, and you're right, it is, because these people are awkward. These people haven't seen each other in, I think it's something like maybe 10 years, 8 years.
Yes, 10 years.
And not only have they not seen each other in that long, but
they're different people.
They're different people, and not just that, but it's not because they didn't want to see each other. It's because, you know, extenuated circumstances. So, for example, you know, the guy, so Ethan Hawke, you know, went to the place 6 months later, and then she wasn't there. And if that happened to you, and then you saw somebody, you saw the lady come back, you'd be a little bit pissed. And so there's that, and then all of us, and then later on in the movie, that kind of breaks down, and they get to the core of, you know, the relationship and the conversation and to the interaction between each other. And it's just fantastic. I think both are great movies in their own right. And I think that the answer to your question is whichever one I watched last.
Mm. So that, my friends, when you in the dictionary for coupled, say a picture of Douglas. That's so not what he asked you.
So Damien, since I can't get a straight answer out of Douglas, which one do you like more?
Before Sunrise, definitely. It just, like, that one felt more natural, and the second one felt more like a movie. It felt like the director put them in that situation, and then it made, and then allow them to go out and see, you know, what would happen with these two people. Or the first one is like a chance happening, and whatever. I mean, it feels more, or I understand what you said about it feeling less organic, because it's kind of weird and awkward after all this time passed, betrayed, and the other one, you know, doesn't really know how to act around. Right. But I don't know. Yeah, I prefer. The first one had pro tips for dating.
Did not.
Not so much.
No, not at all. I agree with you there.
I think I'm going to have to go with Before Sunset.
Ah, this guy, by the way, the last time we talked about it, he was like, I don't like Before Sunset as much.
Actually, yeah, I have to. When as soon as I had finished watching Before Sunset, I decided that Before Sunrise was better. But no, like, 2-3 weeks after the fact, and I think about it, and I mean, one of the reasons why I liked Before Sunrise more at initially, the fact that it felt natural, it felt like this was just happening, and then in the Before Sunset, everything felt forced. However, no, as I said, looking back, that's what was supposed to happen. And I mean, as I said initially, when I was watching Before Sunset, holy shit, they're in the car, this scene just made the movie for me.
Yeah, the car scene, it was fantastic. That was the breaking point. That was when finally, you know,
something felt real.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I loved about the movie. And then from then on, the movie just became great.
Unfortunately, there was only about a half an hour after that point. But
it was still amazing.
Because what it does is it lets you enjoy the rest of the movie the next time around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can I say, I'm hot.
I think I'm going with pro tips still. I'm sticking to my answer. Pro tips, that's what pushes over there.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I think I'm with you. I think that if I really had to choose, if I really had to put my head on the block, and say which one I prefer.
If I could only watch one again,
yeah,
ever, I'd have to go with the first one.
I think I'd have to go with the first one too.
Alright, so anything else you've been watching, you guys?
Mm-hmm.
So what I've been watching recently, I've been continuing my stint of watching Buffy.
Next.
Last time I spoke, I had reached almost the end of season 3.
He doesn't understand what next means. Yes, you are watching Buffy. Could we move it? Could we go to something else?
No, I'm
there
going to talk 100 about
seasons
this.
And you love Joss Whedon. You want to have his love child. I don't know what the hell this is going. But please, could we get on to something else that you're watching? No one cares about Buffy.
Yes, they do.
It's like 19 years removed.
So
is anybody who was in that movie still alive? I don't understand.
Jazz, could we get Jazz on? was in Repo Man, which was came out.
Can you plug out his mic?
I think there's this button here.
Oh, there's the cable. Can I throw something at the cable?
You know, you just blow too hard and then the static will come again. That's
so
all.
That's why the fan's not on. That static will blow in from over the hills.
Alright, you know what? I'm just going to leave it at the fact that it's amazing. And even though season 5 ended in a way that felt like complete, and when they brought back season 6, I worried. By the end of season 6, it became amazing again, and I love it. I'm just going to leave it there. All right? I'm moving on to season 7 soon, but whatever. Another film that I watched this week.
I thought he was going to say that he's moving on now to season 7 to talk about season 7.
Another movie that I watched this week was 1 Hour Fantasy Girl.
I heard you did not like that movie, Andrew.
John Paul Rice, the producer, sent me this DVD. And I've half done finished writing my review. I'm going to post it sometime this weekend. But I didn't like this movie at all. Right? It's about this girl who becomes a fantasy girl without the sex.
Hmm.
And she does like...
Like a stripper?
Well, yes. But she does all sorts of weird parties. Like, if a guy says, you know what, I want to be in a diaper and have you feed me for an hour, sure.
So this is the girlfriend experience.
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought when I was finished watching the movie. It made me worry about the girlfriend experience and how bad that movie is going
to be. Well, it's not bad, but Jesus Christ.
The acting in this movie is ridiculously horrible. Right?
Not harsh.
They had this Asian character, Chai, who is like the business partner to the girl, the fantasy girl, Brandy.
The pimp, you mean?
Yeah. He's not really a pimp because he doesn't, like, smack her and tell her, go do, right? It's more like, she says, all right, I'm going to do this job. You tag along with me. And if anything goes wrong, you have the gun. You can...
So he's a pimp. No.
By the way, pimp has nothing to do with the pimps.
Violence.
Just to let you know.
It is a byproduct of pimping.
Pimping ain't easy, Andrew. Okay?
It's not an inherent function of pimping.
Pimping is a rain.
Right.
Well, actually, no. It's just collecting money.
Right. And protecting your women.
Yeah.
Your hoes, some would say.
Well, no, you can't say hoes. It's you know, that's not
ladies
the accepted
the
nomenclature anymore.
Prostitutes.
Right? No, I think skanks is okay.
That's not bad.
I don't think this movie has any distribution right now. It's only going via the independent, the guy actually selling his own DVDs via Amazon and his own sites.
Ooh!
What?
Keep going.
So... personally, I mean, I know this might sound harsh, but I don't think this movie needs distribution.
Wow.
Like,
we saw Last Chance Harvey. Is it better than that?
No, Last Chance Harvey is better.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Listen.
It's getting rough.
Have you lost the thought already?
It's the liquor.
The liquor. Don't start drinking Bravia again.
Bavaria.
I actually thought about stealing that one many times because it just sat there in the fridge for a while.
Taunting you.
You alcoholic. So no, there are two things that I kind of thought of because of what you were talking about a while ago. One was closely tied to your thought about independent, you know, ordering DVDs, whatever. Was I saw something about this movie. Can't remember what the name is. The guy followed me on Twitter. His name is something like Indie Wood Film. And he's making his film which is kind of, you know.
I'm shooting at that.
Yeah. He's making like a zombie film. I can't remember what it's called, but I remember looking at the name of the movie and thinking, my God, this name is awesome. And he's doing the same thing that this guy is doing, except he's doing it a little bit more interestingly, that in that he has not finished his movie yet. But in order to fund the movie that is still ongoing, he has people pre-ordering his DVDs. And if you pre-order a DVD, which I think is something close to $20 or something like that, you get a producer's credit in the actual film and a whole assortment of rubbish. But I thought that was interesting. I wish I had more to say on the fact, but I just can't remember the details.
I have no idea what movie you're talking about, but
yeah,
okay.
I know. And then, because I was thinking of Zombie, this other thing kind of hit me. Zombie, independent, then all of a sudden I went to Cannes. And I remembered I read an article today about this zombie film made for $70 called Colin, which apparently is...
Colin!
Colin! Be Colin dance!
Back.
So apparently it's a zombie film from the point of view of the zombie.
I think I read something about that.
Right? Not only that, it was, like I said, made for $70. The guy, you know, got extras by farming it out over Facebook, advertising over Facebook. He got all his lights where people brought, you know, lights and cameras and things like that with them, so he didn't have to pay for those things. And apparently he got people from, for example, the X-Men crew. So he was saying in one of his interviews that, you know, some of the latex that you see in the movie was actually originally worn by Wolverine.
So Wolverine ended up in a decent movie then?
At least pieces of him did.
Do we know that this movie is decent?
People like it.
That doesn't mean it's
decent. I don't know if it's decent or it's not decent. Apparently, Alex, the Alex Billington, to our show very soon, and so maybe he'll talk about it.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay. Back to your movie though. Is it objectively like bad, terrible acting and terrible direction, or is it just that you didn't find this or the dialogue particularly appealing?
Well, the writing was horrible as well, so the dialogue got thrown out the window a long time ago.
So bad writing. Always, as the creative screenwriting people tell you, that's never
a good step. The film, as I said, horrible acting. There was really no redemption in this movie.
Wow.
Yes, there is. You got it for free.
Still.
I prefer that that I didn't get it for free.
Wow. Friends out there, please do not take to heart Andrew's comment. Yes. He is just an asshole.
He's been very bitter today. His team lost.
Yes. No. I understand now that you will never,
send another screener.
Exactly. However,
he's not the only person.
Exactly.
Podcast.
I'm a very nice person.
While his name is on the website, as you can clearly see, nothing goes up on that website.
Exactly.
Where's our last podcast?
Still on the computer.
I'm sure it is.
Okay. So, first of all, if you're hearing this, you may not understand what happened, because I'm sure Andrew probably took out the...
What
comment up? Before. So I just tell you, he was being an ass to somebody who sent him a free screener. I will never do that. Yeah. Maybe I'll tell you, you know, I didn't really like your movie, but I'll be nice about it. So send it to me, Douglas. Not Andrew. Douglas.
I'll never say that. Oh, you know, I'd rather have not seen your movie. Even if it's bad. And let's be honest.
You see, there's a lot of bad movies.
There's bad movies, but there's better ways to go about calling
exactly.
them bad movies, Andrew.
Don't it's called me. Constructive criticism, Andrew. Constructive, not destructive. Con. There's a big difference between D and
con. You want some
con.
Constructive criticism?
Hire
write
better
a better screenplay.
Okay, stop. Nice constructive criticism.
Yes.
Polite.
One hour fantasy girl.
No, we're through talking about that movie.
Yes, because Andrew
is being an ass.
Yeah, you are. And I mean, I know it's like a Disney cartoon and all, but seriously, if you don't have anything nice to say, it's better you just don't say anything at all. They told that to Thumper in Batman.
We never do that with Andrew.
No. Moving on, this week we're going to talk in our classic film marathon about Orson Welles' Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane is a modern American story about a man called Kane, Charles Foster Kane. I don't know how to tell you about him. There's so many things to say. I'll turn you over instead to the characters in the picture. As you'll see, they feel very strongly on the subject.
Charles Foster Kane is...
Sure, he started the war. But do you think if it hadn't been for Mr. Kane, the United States would have the Panama Canal?
Charles Foster Kane is nothing more or less than a communist!
Kane, governor. Listen, when the voters of this state and Mrs. Kane learn what I found out about Mr. Kane and a certain little blondie named Susan Alexander, he couldn't be elected dog catcher. I'm going to skin Mr. Charles Foster Kane alive.
I'm going to marry him next week at the White House.
Emily, I hear you've been stepping out with Charlie Kane.
Of course I love him. I gave him $60 million.
Well, of course I love him. He's the richest man in America.
All right, so what do you guys think of Citizen Kane, Douglas?
No. I think I want to hear Damon go first.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay. What was the movie we did before this?
It was Casablanca.
Right, so Casablanca is a classic. Timeless classic. And I think that one will last forever. This one has aged a lot. I won't say a bit. A lot of the things that they did with this movie. First of all, the movie is about this guy, Kane, who came into some money at a young age and was taken from his mother.
No. Let's get this right. He was sold.
Whatever. He came into some money at a young age, taken from his mother. And, you know, he grew up in the lap of luxury and eventually took over.
No, just keep going.
I eventually took over several businesses and he became rich. But at the end of his life, he was all alone. And after he died, there were people commissioned to tell his life story, basically. And the movie revolves around people getting information from other people about how Mr. Kane lived his life and what kind of life he lived. He had two wives, owned several newspapers, built himself a small island. He did a lot of things, but in the end he still died alone, and his last words were Rosebud, and they were concerned about what was it that Mr. Kane was talking about when he said Rosebud as his dying words. The movie, though, it was done in 1942, I think.
41,
right. And I guess back then, boom mics weren't invented, because these people talk really loudly all the time. They kind of shout at the camera. And they talk really loud and they speak really fast. So it's not... no one talks like that. I've never seen any real footage of people who talk like that. I don't know if it was something to do with what time the film was shot, but I am not a fan of how they spoke. Another thing is how the story itself was told. They kind of started at the end and then worked their way. I don't know if you saw the same thing that I saw, but I pretty much figured out what Rosebud was.
I had no clue what it was until the end.
You got me there, friend. I didn't know what it was.
Like 30 minutes into the movie. Like, I didn't know exactly what it was, but...
I knew it had to do... it was some sort of... I knew that, first of all, it was something that they would not be able to find out. And I knew, right, second of all, it was something near and dear to him, but I just didn't know what it was.
So, like, this... after this, because they asked everyone what was the meaning of Rosebud, and they have like they had a flashback, and after the second flashback, I pretty much had it nailed down what exactly Rosebud was, because it's the only thing to me that made any kind of sense, and in the end, it turned out to be exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess that was a bit disappointing, but I guess because this movie might have been probably the first movie to tell a story in this way, so I can't fault it for me having seen many, many movies like this, jumping right to the end and knowing exactly what to do. The movie tells a story about how people who grow up in luxury aren't happy. To the public, they put on this that they're all is well within their empire, but to the people who knew them, they were completely different people. They weren't the flamboyant and happy people that to be. And again, we've seen these themes in many a movie in subsequent years. I like what the movie was trying to say, just not how it said it. I just wasn't a fan of how the movie was shot, and the movie drags at certain points they give us information that you kind of gathered along the way without them explicitly telling you what exactly happened. So in about the middle portion of the movie, I felt myself forcing myself to continue watching the movie, and I don't like when I have to do that. I have like a coping mechanism. There's a bicycle inside my room. Start pedaling. There's no way I can watch anything, but it kind of picked up near the end. But because I kind of knew what it is they were looking for, I knew that the people who were looking weren't going to find it, as he said.
Yeah.
When it happened, there's no fulfillment at the end of the movie, because I kind of figured it out a long time ago. So when the movie ended, I'm like, oh yeah, it just did what I thought it was going to do, and that was it. I guess for its time, it did things that no other movie did, but for me, this movie hasn't really aged well.
Alright, so like, here's my problem. When Damien suggested that we start this classic film marathon, I went around and I started looking up movies to add up, and we discussed what movies to put on the list, and I forced Citizen Kane, because it was a movie that I felt like I should watch, right? Everyone talks about it as like the greatest of all classic films, you know?
This is when movies became movies.
Right? And I also have to say, up until around 6 months ago, swear to God, I thought Citizen Kane was a mobster film.
That's impressive.
Right?
See, sealed right past the point.
Right? So, when I sit down to watch this movie a couple of days ago, and it's this long, boring film about a man who is rich and no one loves him. I've heard this story told in a 5.5 minute track by the Beatles. And I love that song.
I don't think we should do podcasts after Manu loses. He's not nice today.
No, he's not.
I mean, I'm sure out there are films Orson Welles.
The man's name, Andrew.
One that I will like. Because, I mean, it once again, just like how
he was in Casino Royale.
He's done everything on
just like how people ramp up Citizen Kane as the most awesome, people kind of talk about Orson Welles in a great light. And I haven't seen any of his films.
Not necessarily. Actually, I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, he did this great movie, Citizen Kane, and then he ate himself to death. That essentially, that's all he's done. But yes, you're right. A lot of people do also say that, you know, he's fantastic.
Right, and my problem with the movie was I got the point, not the ending, but the point of the actual film, which is money can't buy your love.
Right, hell you see.
The man
buys a jet ski. Try to frown in a jet
ski. Even when you see him at a younger age. And
did
he's...
you not watch Eastbound and Down, Andrew? The jet ski got her shirt off really quickly.
But it didn't get the right girl's shirt off.
It got a girl's shirt off, right?
Yeah.
That's the right girl.
Thank you. It's like he's watching a different
one. Yeah, I don't understand.
I mean, you saw him at a younger age when he was all about, you know what, I want to buy a newspaper because that'll be fun, right? And he thinks he's happy when he gets a newspaper, and he starts doing all sorts of things like reporting ridiculous news, like all sorts, like
he just invents
just because, right?
And buying out the competition.
And I kind of like that piece of the film because it made me think about blogs of today. Like, there are really good blogs out there.
Are you saying that Neil Miller is a sad, sad man?
I am not.
Who has no, you know, friends?
Right, so I did not say that about Neil Miller.
And then dances with can-can ladies when...
and eventually will buy out all the good people from all the other blogs. Is that what you're trying to say, Andrew?
Well, Ross Fisher is writing for Slash Film now.
Fair point. Fair point.
I have nothing against Slash Film or Peter Sereda, but that's just a coincidence. But, I mean, people have this mental picture whenever you say you got this from a blog, that it's made up news 99% of the time, that it's just gossip. And a lot of blogs
I think a lot of that stigma has slowly been, you know,
it's slowly going away because...
You know the thing though? It's going away between you and me. I don't think it's going away between...
Not between the general population.
Yeah, I guess.
And I mean...
Although it's kind of hard to say that because a lot of the big news sites...
Mm-hmm.
Point to blogs and what blogs have said.
No, but they point to it more for the sake of saying this is what people are talking about now, not saying this is news.
Right.
And when they point to it, they say they are talking about something that we already reported 10 years ago. Yeah.
Right. I know they can't, but still in like on a more general, like on a wider, I think the perception is slowly, like not only for us,
mm-hmm.
but for other people out there. I mean, a lot of times when, God forbid, I'm watching Fox News or CNN.
Fair and
my ass.
You have the radio. You can put on BBC.
How about no? And download their podcast. Never mind that.
BBC is actually kind of cool to listen to sometimes.
Yeah, I love listening to the BBC.
I've never listened to a podcast before.
Let me... Alright, just a small tangent. BBC has a global news podcast that's about 30 minutes small.
Yeah.
They've been working on the audio, so it sounds better now. But the thing is, because they're like 12 hours ahead, it's like news from the future. As I call it. Right. So at like 12 o'clock in the night.
It's like watching Sky Sports News.
Right. So like 12 o'clock in the night.
In the morning.
They're like, this is our news service for midday on the following day for us. They're like, and then when our news cycle starts at like 6-7 o'clock, and when CNN news cycle starts, you've heard all of the major headlines a lot. So it's really like news. I don't know if they're biased. I'm not in England.
I think everybody's biased.
Right.
I think
I mean like Fox biased.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not talking
right.
Everyone has small biases, but I mean like if they're Fox Fox biased.
So that's Citizen Kane.
Alright.
Yeah.
Back on
completely lost the point.
Anyway. No, you were saying that
The newspaper, when you just started the newspaper and how he conducted his newspaper, it reminded me a lot.
No, stop. Past that,
right?
Because all that's gonna happen is it's like a loop.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that note. Have you ever seen those notes where it's like, how do you keep an idiot happy for a long time? Please turn over. I don't want to get into that loop, Andrew. Let's continue.
So past the newspaper point.
Well, I mean,
is there anything else that you did like in the movie?
Oh,
the ladies look nice, and they knew their place.
There are better movies to watch for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Just like Casablanca last week. That movie had Ingrid Bergman, who is
and
beautiful.
Another thing, the music in this movie. This is a wag of the finger. I don't know.
Can I tell you, if it wasn't for the fact that we just got the new TV and I was sitting up in the couch, I would have fallen asleep at least 5 times in this movie.
Bicycle.
I apologize. I'm about to say some good things about this movie, but I nearly fell asleep at least twice.
No, there's good aspects about the movie.
Yeah. You see, the thing is, right, I agree with Damon. About halfway through, I definitely felt as if I was like, this movie has to end. Please end. Please. Please. But here's the thing. I thought the acting was good. Really good. I know you don't think that way, but I thought
The acting wasn't my problem. It was how they...
It was the pacing. Right. The pacing and the story itself.
How this... I mean, it's something to do with that era of film where they spoke like that. And, like, whenever someone said something, they had to stop and, like, pause and then speak.
You know, in particular, I liked Kane. I liked his best friend, Jedediah.
Mm-hmm.
Those two definitely were really good. I don't know if enjoy is the best word, because, you know, it's kind of hard to say I enjoyed something right after I say halfway through it. It's hard to watch. But I really did. I enjoyed the way that they portrayed this story in the sense that, you know, this whole cutting back and forth. Right. I thought it was fantastic. I used fantastic too much. But I thought it was good. You know, they had, essentially, this guy had died. Then they go through all of these flashbacks to tell you his story. And you know that they're telling you his story through other people's words. Because each time you get to a flashback, it's because they're meeting with somebody about him. And each person is almost kind of allocated a space in time. Exactly, a period of his life. Because, you know, he was very close to that person at that time. So even in that, you could say that, you know, this guy, where in most of the movie, he's very, I shouldn't say pompous, but he has a lot of pomp to him. He's very
flamboyant,
very, you know, all over the place. And maybe the reason that you don't see behind the scenes until so late is the fact that this is through somebody else's eyes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not him talking about himself. It's not a movie purporting to be, you know, the true life story of this person. It's somebody telling you this is how they saw this person.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. I'll temper that with saying, you know, I thought the movie stretched as well. It's okay, except I thought the ending was a bit bleh. So what?
Alright, let me tell you what I thought happened in the middle. At the start of the movie, they gave us some newspaper clippings as to, like, headlines that had his name in it that was about, you know, what happened in his life. But there was some overlap in the middle, because in the middle of the movie, it's when he was dealing with him campaigning and the wives that he had. And you kind of got that, because you knew that both wives left him.
Yeah, you did.
And
you knew why the first one left him.
The first one left him because he cheated.
And you knew that killed his career.
Right.
Yeah.
And the second one, you know, what they showed you her flashback, but honestly, that part, because her flashback was based on him building this castle and keeping her there. And then she left because he basically wanted her to keep. He was using her and her success as, like, he was living through her vicariously. So whatever she did, and all, he knew that it was because of him why she had, and she couldn't put up with someone controlling her life like that. But he kind of understood that, because he kind of got snippets of that earlier in the movie. So when they're telling you the story at that point, you just go, yeah, kind of, sort of, understood this already. And showing you this didn't give you any extra. I mean, all it did was show how sad this man was towards the end, but you kind of picked that up as so you were just there wondering, you know, what is it? Because at that point, all you really wanted to know is, what is this Rosebud thing that they're going after? And you wanted the movie to end. And you wanted some resolution. You knew what was happening with this man's life. So you just wanted them to go to the resolution. And they kind of stretched that out. So I think that's the problem that I had at that middle point. Because before then, I didn't have a problem watching the movie. And then it was a bit too much information. It's a Kojima-ism. Metal Gear. Yeah, so I don't know. But, go on, you're...
Yeah, well, essentially that's it. I think the movie is technically good. And I could have enjoyed it. And for some of the parts, I did enjoy it. But what happened was, as we got towards the middle and closer to the end, where it started to stretch, it started to feel, you know, like a really long movie, I kind of lost interest. And so this movie, though it is technically a good movie, and if you talk to people, people are like, oh, this is fantastic, this is, you know, the first time that they did this or whatever, I understand that, I appreciate it.
But you can't see it as that. Because it's not the first. It's the first time that they did it, then maybe it was groundbreaking. And that's fair enough. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of 40s movies. And I haven't seen a lot of 30s movies. So I don't know, you know, how big the jump was between 30s or 40s movies. What this film did. I'm not entirely sure that this film achieved. That film didn't, in because people talk up as I've heard people make reference to this movie in explaining why, like, video games aren't really art. They're like, in a couple of years we'll have a Citizen's Kane of video games, something that will finally be out there to define, you know, the genre, as this is what the genre can do. I've heard people talk about it as, you know, the birth of film. I've seen that more than one places. People talking about this as this is where film really took off. But I haven't seen it from that perspective. And this has happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to a lot of you. People who listen to this. You've gone back and seen movies that you thought you loved, right? Only to realize that A, maybe your taste of change, or B, objectively, there's just no way that this movie is what you remember it being. But what most people do is they color that with nostalgia, so they know inside that objectively there's just no way, but they still have the sense that they had the first time they see it, and so they'll never openly admit that, you know, the movie maybe wasn't as good as I thought it was. It's happened to me many times. I've gone back and seen many early films, and even one of my favorite films of all time, if I were to be completely objective, there's just no way. There's no way. A movie would be like a 7. But that movie's a 10. Until I'm dead, that movie's a 10 for me. But there's... So, I don't know if that is what is happening here. I'd feel better if it was like a big jump, like from Nintendo to like PlayStation 3 jump. If it was something like that, I'd feel better. I could, you know, see past more of the flaws that I see in the movie now. But for right now, because I've seen this type of, even if it was the first, I've seen this type of story done better, and I knew exactly what this Rosebud thing was, like, literally before the 30-minute mark, and this movie is almost 1 hour and 50 minutes. And so, I mean, it's, maybe it's a classic for some people, and maybe in the grand scheme of film, it was a significant mark. But for me right now, I... Like, I'd have people watch this movie, but there's so many other older movies that we'll talk about later on in this series that I'd recommend to people long before this movie comes up.
Okay. I'd just like to say that I'm not... I don't fully agree with you there, in the sense that, not that I think you're wrong or anything, but just me personally, I didn't even see it that way. That's not where I was going to go a while ago. I think that it's a good movie, and I didn't even see it through those eyes where, you know, I've seen this type of story before. I kind of tried to look at it through the eyes where, you know, this is the first time I'm looking at this movie, let's just see what it's about. And from those eyes, that type of storytelling I thought was very good. And so I am of two minds to say that this is a really good movie, essentially, but then also to say that, you know, it was one of the hardest movies I've ever watched, because it really, I mean, for a long time I was saying to myself, please just end, you know. So I'm of two minds that way, and I think that this, even though, you know, it's very long, even though it kind of screeches to a halt halfway through, I think it's something that...
No, I agree that it's something that people should watch.
I think it's something that's worth that praise and that stigma and that, you know, everything that's attached to it by people. Maybe, you know, you don't like it, or I think, you know, not all that great, but I think it's still up there.
I have to say no sir. I think this movie is highly overrated. People need to get that classic title off of it, because, I mean, alright, I agree with you, Damien. There's probably something this movie did technically which made a jump at the time, but I don't know enough film history to tell you what that is. So I don't get that special feeling by going like, oh, it's the first time they ever took the camera and swirled it around his head. Right? It's
Michael Bay.
it's the first movie with CJ.
It's the first movie where we saw someone's entire life on film. Right? No, I mean, this movie, I don't think it deserves any praise that people are giving it. And I don't know why it's getting the praise.
There's usually a reason.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so, someone who is out there listening to me, and I'm sure I've made you angry by telling you how much I hate this movie.
Yeah, they're going to punch you in the face.
Email me.
You'll be walking through.
Email me and let me know, what is that special thing that makes this movie the classic that it is? My email is andrew.robinson@gmanreviews, or you can email us at unnamed@gmanreviews.com.
Some 6 foot tall guy skinny as all hell because he spends his time watching movies.
He's probably going to send you an email and say, let's discuss this in person.
Yes.
No. I'll be available to meet you in person. But can I tell you one thing? Yesterday I was having a discussion with my professors about all these classic films that I was going through. And he ended up talking about 2001: A Space Odyssey. Right, and I'm not going to bother to repeat myself. By now, you know I don't like it, but but he mentioned that the one thing that killed the movie for him was when someone told him it wasn't filmed in space. He thought when he first saw it that the movie was in space.
Wait, what? Sorry, I thought when you said that yesterday to me that you were. I thought he said it, but I thought joke. He was serious.
Well, I mean, it is a joke and serious at the same time. It's a joke because he probably was like really young when he first saw it, so whatever. I think funny, you know?
No, that's really funny. The fact that he's a lecturer teaching small children.
It's an A4's course.
I can't see why.
I know. Okay. Yeah.
You've learned absolutely nothing.
Probably. Anyways.
So while I don't agree with Andrew at all, because I've learned over the years, a lot of movies that people call classics, they aren't called classics right away.
No, yeah, I'm sure in another 30 years we'll be calling The Dark Knight a classic.
Not so sure.
What did you just say?
Not so
what
sure.
Did you just say?
I will cut. No, listen to me. Listen to me. You're not understanding. Again, what a, like, all right, the movie I was talking about when I was, you know, making that example about movies that go back and objectively.
Casablanca.
No, Rambo. Rambo.
I thought we were talking about Rambo 2.
Yeah, no, First Blood Part 2. My favorite movie of all time.
When you're, the nostalgia speech.
So Rambo is a 10, and it will always be a 10. They can engrave that on my tombstone if they want to, because I die loving that movie. But cannot. If someone comes to me and say, that movie really wasn't that good because the story falls, there's no story. And the action is...
Oh, you mean like what I tell you?
Right. The action is also unbelievable. Right? I can then look on them and say, no, you're wrong. Right? While I will say that they're wrong because the movie is awesome. Right? I cannot... The points that they have made aren't wrong. And if we should go down and look at movies and keep one scale and be objective and say... It hits here, it misses here, it hits here, it misses here. Because we can, because I used to say, you know, you watch action movies for action. But here comes Lord of the Rings and a few other movies that blew that out of the water. Because there was a good enough story and there was good enough action. So I can then say, well, you know, I don't need story, I just need action. So while I can do that with Rambo, and a lot of people won't call Rambo a classic, I will. And that's the point I make with The Dark Knight. I will love The Dark Knight. I know I'm going to love The Dark Knight. Because the amount of times I've seen that movie since it's come out last year, most normal people don't see movies. I've seen this movie at least 30 times. It is amazing to me.
I haven't gone that
It's
much.
Amazing to me how the two hours plus, like every time I sit down to watch it,
it just goes away,
disappears. Like, I'm like, yeah. I mean, I've watched this movie many times and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to sleep, so I'm just going to start watching it. I'll probably drop asleep. And then, like, I'm supposed to be asleep at, like, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the evening because I have work night. And, like, 5:30, I'd still be up. And, oh, shit, the movie's done. And I look up and I'm like, shit. I'm going to get, like, 2 hours of sleep and then I'm going to have to have work. Time disappears watch this movie. And that happens with only certain movies. And I love all, like, it happens with Rambo, Crouching Tiger. I mean, my version of The Matrix. Which, I must tell you, the second I get back a computer. What you need to do is take all the action scenes from all The Matrix. And then where there's talking, have a black screen and just put in writing whatever the hell they were talking about.
Neo now moves to train.
No, that's not. No, so it's the opening scene with Trinity. And then Morpheus meets Neo. And then I show one picture. Neo learns Kung Fu. Go straight to the second. And the movie is a, like, all the action scenes in the three movies are about an hour and a half, and it is bliss. Absolute bliss. And I made that with Windows Movie Maker.
I think you need to lend me that.
My computer died, and it died a lot.
Anyways, right. I kind of want to wrap this up now. We're going off way, way off base here.
Hopefully, when I see some more earlier movies and later, like 40s and 30s movies, I'll be better able to say we can stop speaking in ignorance and actually have some reference.
Yeah.
But until then, this movie, it's not a classic to me. It's still a classic because people love it, but not to me.
Alright, I think you guys said this, but would you guys recommend this film to people to watch?
Yes, all of classic movies.
I would not.
I would recommend it, but it's not as if I'd say this is you the best need, movie ever made. Right. I think it's a really good movie, but at the same time, I'd say to, you know, the person, I'd be like,
there'd be qualifiers.
Yeah, you know.
About halfway through this movie, you need like 2 cans of Red Bull.
No, you can't have Red Bull anymore. You don't say Red Bull has cocaine in it.
So?
They've taken them off the shelves in Germany.
So? Money? They sell Red Bull here, right?
Yeah. All right. So the next film in our classic series we're going to be going through next week is Rear Window.
Yay!
You guys might have heard that was Damien.
So you
can yes.
catch up on that one. 5-year-old girl.
I'm coloring my views for next week. It will be positive.
Oh. And right. I have a movie to choose for next week.
Yeah.
Yay! So I'll make sure to choose a very, very cool one. One that you have not seen.
Don't be like Andrew.
Moving on to news. This week in news, it was announced that John Lithgow is going to be in season 4 of Dexter.
Oh, wait a second. Wait. We have news before we review? Ah! Okay, continue.
Yeah, John Lithgow is apparently going to be in season 4 of Dexter. Now, I haven't read anything about what his character is in the show because I don't want to spoil it for myself.
Right.
However, we are all fans of Dexter.
Yes.
And
Conyo.
Yeah, we had our first episode, we actually discussed season 3 of Dexter. Do you guys have any opinion on John Lithgow and what
my
do you
opinion,
think he would add to the show?
My opinion is Lithgow, he can, whatever is needed, he will do it. He can be that sort of comic relief that Jimmy Smits was. He could also be, you know, a bad guy. He could do all sorts of things. But I'm going to just say it from now. You are going to reference Ricochet. And you are going to say that he was awesome in Ricochet. And you are going to say that that is the reason why he's going to be good in Dexter. You know what I have to say to that? Oh, nothing. I can't burp yet. But
yeah.
So
you and your guess.
But no, I think Lithgow, he is a really good actor for whatever is needed. And I like it. And I'm ready and waiting.
Any ideas, Damon?
The casting index has been spot on for the first 3 seasons. There's been one casting choice that I kind of had a problem with, and it was with the sister. But they kind of validated that in season 3. Because before she was kind of stereotyped, but they kind of fleshed her out in season 3. As long as it's the same people that were in charge the previous seasons, I think we're good to go with this one. I don't care who else is in there. Yeah. Michael C. Hall is still in it.
Exactly, you know?
No, his film career is taking off. He's done with this.
He's in game and all. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not even funny.
I love John Lithgow.
I'm sure you do.
And just because Douglas says it, I'm not going to talk about Ricochet.
Yeah, you just did.
Thank you.
I will mention, however, how much I loved him in The Twilight Zone.
Wasn't he in Third?
Third Rock from the Sun.
The sun, yeah.
He was the father.
30 Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, I say that all the time whenever I think it is.
The first Shrek movie.
He was in a Die Hard movie, I think.
The first Shrek movie?
Yeah,
John
He was the short guy. The short bad guy.
Never mind
the prince or whatever. I can't remember.
Oh, yes, he was. You're right, yeah.
He's going to be amazing in this show. As I said, I haven't read anything about his character. Just by seeing he's in it, I kind of assume he's going to be the villain character for the season.
That's profiling, and profiling's wrong.
Okay.
Not
my team lost today. I get to be an asshole. Right. Go Dexter.
Anyway, Avatar images.
Yeah, some Avatar images were released this week, and Damon, you have something to say about this, don't you?
I've seen book 1 and book 2 of this cartoon that Nickelodeon. It's on Nickelodeon.
Why do you call it book 1 and book 2?
Because that's what they call it.
Oh, okay.
So, some images have come out. I'm not impressed at all. None of the people look like the people in the cartoon. There's one guy that's bald. And he's not bald anymore in the movie. I'm hoping for the best for this movie because story is not really what the cartoon hinges on, as most cartoons don't. Hopefully it's not as bad as like DBZ and Chun-Li and all of that nonsense. If they get the action right, this is one though that if they get the action right, everything else probably won't matter.
Is it CG or is it...
No, it's live action. It's live action. Which, I mean... They can't... We've seen great live action fights. But these guys control elements like fire, water, dirt. Mm-hmm. It's like Captain Planet.
I was about to say the same.
Without the cheese. So, hopefully hopefully the story they tell allows them to use up all the elements and gives us some phenomenal fight scenes. I guess I'm hoping for the best.
Is
but these
heart
pictures,
an element?
No. No, the movie isn't made by homosexuals.
Alright, I haven't seen Avatar, but recently I heard people talking really good things about it, and I've decided this summer that I'm going to go and try and watch it. However, one thing that I must say, right, David Patel is in this film, and he is the lead from Slumdog Millionaire.
Yes.
And he's can I tell you how hilarious his picture looks with his hair on?
Looks kind of stupid.
Right. So yeah, that's all I really have to say about it. I mean, otherwise, the only thing I really know is it's M. Night Shyamalan, which definitely puts it into question.
He's doing it?
Yep.
Shit. Never forget all that. This movie going to fucking suck. Really? No, seriously, he's the
one
that's doing it.
Yes, he's
the one
who's
doing it.
However, he didn't write it, though. So.
I don't care who wrote it. He is directing it. He's going to take an action cartoon and turn it into some harsh twist story.
Anyway, next news item, please.
The last news item for the week is that there's possibly...
The last news item for the week?
Yes, the last news item for the week.
I thought we had more.
I cut it out because of the time.
So, what's the last news item? I think we need to veto... We need to vet this thing. Because, you know, he's going to come up with some Quentin Tarantino rubbish.
This is what I'm about to announce.
Lemony Snicket?
Yeah.
Who cares about Lemony Snicket?
I care.
You care?
I like the first one.
Actually, yeah, I care.
So for people out there who are bewildered as to what we're talking about, right? People are talking about the possibility of a sequel to the Lemony Snicket film.
Well, the director
made
talked
that much
about
money.
It.
Hmm? It made that much money?
I don't think it did very well, but...
That's what I heard.
Yeah, what happened is that the director... What did he direct just a while ago? He did a movie, and he was talking about it on a red carpet or somewhere, and he dropped a hint about Lemony Snicket. And that's what everybody is kind of blowing up
over. He's directed Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost. There you go. So, everybody is all like, woo, he's talked about Lemony Snicket. I'm sure either nothing will come of it, or it will be made. And either way, you know.
Yeah, I like the first one.
It was the first movie in a long while that I liked Jim Carrey for. When it came out, it was the first in a long while that I liked Jim Carrey.
Eternal Sunshine?
I hadn't seen that at the time.
Because you're retarded. Next!
I got to Eternal Sunshine late, but it's an awesome movie.
I remember I watched Eternal Sunshine twice at the theater. I was so happy. I got to see that movie at the theater, Andrew.
I lived in Jamaica at that time.
Oh, yeah. I was in a little town called Ithaca... No. I was about to say the town is called Ithaca College. The town is just Ithaca.
Right, so now we're going to move on to the trailers of the week. And we're going to start out with not exactly a trailer, but this is a Funnier Dive video, which is a fake trailer for...
Dow Jones!
For this movie called Dow Jones, starring Common.
Dow Jones is his name, and money is his game.
We made a whole lot of bread this quarter, Dow. Hmm?
Give me some skin, baby.
Yeah.
Right on. Dow Jones was sound as a pound till the man double-crossed him.
Ooh, money, money, money. Oh.
Just sign the mortgage papers and the house is yours.
I just want some heroin, Jack.
Hey! What you doing, Jellybrain?
Now he's out for revenge.
Back off me, man!
Wait. No, I can explain.
I'll see you on the flip side, Jive Turkey. Your stock's about to plummet.
Find me this Dow Jones.
I can't. I just got laid off.
Dow Jones!
Dow Jones, he's passing out cash like an ATM. My man might crash, he come right back again. When he's high, he's cool. Look out when he's low. My man DJ Gurley, about to blow.
Oh, what's the matter, Dow?
Dow is down, baby.
Maybe we can help.
Right on.
The Dow always goes back up for the ladies.
Dow Jones!
Dow
Dow Jones.
Dow Jones. He'll put you in debt.
Okay, so that was a fake trailer for Dow Jones. What did you guys think?
I thought that it was kind of funny, but eh. Also, the article that had that trailer in it referenced the fact that this person was so upset, so very upset, that there are rumors going around that MacG, well, not rumors anymore, I guess, because the movie's come out in, you know, civilized places, that MacG cut out a lot of common scenes in Terminator 4. And I'd like to say, have you never seen Common in any other movie that he has been in? Common, while I love him as a rapper, is an awful actor. Sorry, awful is not the right word. A horrid? There has to be like some sort of...
Alright.
Some big word has a lot of syllables that means so really, really bad.
He's on the other side of good.
Yes, he's on the other side of good. And if the less Common your film has, the better it will be for it.
For it being good skyrockets.
Exactly. So, you know what? Shut up.
Yeah, I found this trailer mildly amusing. All it reminded me is that there's a Black Dynamite movie. I don't really want to see that movie. I want to see the shit. Your music. And I've never liked your movies. You've been in Smoking Aces. You're bad in that.
Yeah, I just looked him up. I thought there was something I liked him in, but no, there's nothing.
You had Wanted, which I love, but you weren't good in that either.
No, mind you, you
did keep yourself quiet. You had like two scenes, and all you did was shake your head and get shot.
And hand out guns.
Whatever. And
he was in Street Kings.
Moving swiftly ahead. So no, your acting career has been terrible.
Tarred. That's not
atrocious,
the right word.
Abysmal,
right word.
Horrendous, absolutely pathetic. Whatever it is, you can insert this here. But I just want the Black Dynamite. I don't even know why Andrew made me watch this. Couldn't we just watch the Black Dynamite trailer again?
Let's do that now.
Didn't Sony pick that up? Sony, let's. I know you lost $1 billion last year, but let's get the whip cracking.
Jamaica, remember, Jamaica likes movies too.
Right.
And if Jamaica doesn't, just send us...
Yeah, send us the movies.
The screener. We don't know how to, like, put the film in the projector and thing. Just send us a DVD.
Yeah.
Although if you send me that, I'll find a way.
Yeah, I will.
Find a way.
This is actually the second time I'm watching this video. I thought it was way funnier the first time.
I'm sure you did.
I found a couple of the jokes still funny, you know, like seeing him burn the money while lighting the cigar.
What is still funny is that mother lover video that you showed.
That one is hilarious.
Justin Timberlake. Thank you. You won't hear this a lot. Thank you, Justin.
I think SNL should just be Justin Timberlake.
I've watched bits of that SNL episode. Did you watch the whole SNL episode?
No,
right?
Did you see the one I was talking to you about? The one in the boat?
The one on the boat, right?
Yes,
I was going to talk about
hilarious.
That. You should go and try and find that clip of what would they call it? The
ship. It's coming to essentially. It's a bunch of Irish people coming to America.
Yeah. And they build up to the Mother Lover song.
Yeah,
hilarious. Anyways, moving on to our next trailer of the night. It's this new sci-fi film called Mr. Nobody.
Oh, so sorry.
Can you tell me how old you are?
I'm 34. I was born February 9th, 1975.
Who are you?
I'm Mr. Nobody, a man who doesn't exist.
We don't know who Mr. Nobody is. Neither does he. Our patient's memories are confused.
So, Nemo, if you made up your mind, do you want to come with me or do you want to stay with your father? cannot go back. That's why it's hard to choose.
Nemo!
You have to make the right choice.
Run!
As long as you don't choose, everything remains possible.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Did you stay with your father or go with your mother?
Remember.
Hello, Nemo.
I want you.
I want you too.
For as much as Anna and Nemo have consented together in holy wedlock, for as much as Elise and Nemo,
Jean and Nemo have joined themselves to each other.
Everything that you say is contradictory. Of all those lives, which one is the right one?
Nemo, do you love me?
I couldn't live without you.
You're the first and last person I'll ever love.
Love you.
I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid I haven't been alive enough.
So yeah, that was a trailer for Mr. Nobody, and I'd just like to open it out with seeing how amazed I am by the older person, and you saw him being interviewed by this guy with all this paint on his face that I can't explain, other than saying that it's something that if I had an HD video of, I'd want to screenshot and have it as a wallpaper on my.
Yeah, but weird. But,
it just
yeah,
looked, I know. It just looked pretty to
looks,
me.
Looks pretty.
And I like this idea of. I'm not sure whether they're going to take it from the perspective of talking to a crazy person. And like parallel lives that he had, or whether we're going to go through these parallel lives and eventually find out the one that's true or something. But
dear God, I hope.
who knows? Maybe they'll tell you at the end that there's some paradox that was created that allowed for all these parallel lives.
Maybe, one of them manual be personal.
Yeah, one of those. They'll conjure up a good team.
So listen, as watching this trailer, and I have no clue what this movie is going to be. Well, I know it's going to be a very, you know, emotional type movie, but I don't really know how they're going to, like you're saying, approach
it. Which is why I'm interested.
Yeah, that is actually one big reason why I'm interested. Another big reason is the man by the name of Jared Leto. He is clearly the lead in this movie. He is Nemo, and I really like him. He was great in Requiem for a Dream. He was really good in, and I know he was in it for like very. Not a long time, but I thought his part in it was good. Was a movie that I didn't like, which was Panic Room.
No, I enjoyed Panic Room.
I thought it was but I liked him in that movie. He was really good.
Right, he played one of the bad guys.
Yeah,
to get in. Yeah, I liked that movie.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, I mean, other than that, most of the other movies that I've seen him in, I really like him. So him as selling point for this movie is a good thing to me, and so I'm very interested. I'd like to see more about it, but even if I didn't see more about it, and if this movie came out tomorrow at the movies, I'd probably be there.
Alright. I kind of like what Douglas said.
Except you wouldn't be at the theater.
Like, I need to know how they tell this story.
Yeah.
That's the this is why I love and hate trailers. Because this is a fantastic trailer. This is how trailers are supposed to be done. Because this trailer makes me want to watch the movie. Like, no. It's a chance for me to watch a movie now. I just not got it. Because I need to know how the story is told. Because clearly, his big thing is that you don't need to make decisions, right? If there was a way to follow all the paths, right, what would happen? And I don't know if he's crazy. I don't know what. I mean, he's been interviewed by somebody, and see him living all these parallel lives. I hope it's not some harsh shit sci-fi. If they're going sci-fi, they need to make it convincing. Don't wait until the final 2 minutes of the movie and throw in some harsh shit sci-fi explanation and end the movie. Because I'll not be happy.
It's because of the flux capacitor.
Yes, they're going to...
1.61 gigawatts. Can I tell you, no thinking on it, another movie it kind of reminds me of slightly is Big Fish.
I didn't like that movie when I saw it.
Don't.
And I was very upset because I saw all the...
Fish.
You see, the thing is, I saw all those trailers, I saw the making of, and I was stoked. I thought it was going to be fantastic.
And then
What
is going on? Yes.
Yes.
Again.
Simple-minded, you know. Yes.
Decision. I really want to watch this movie. I want to.
Alright, so that's as much as we can really say on that one, I guess. The next trailer for the night...
Boo.
It's Bruce newest... Willis. Come
Boo.
On. Bruce Willis is kind of cool.
Have you seen this trailer?
No, I haven't.
Okay. the newest Bruce Willis film, The Surrogate.
Find out in a book.
Robotic human surrogates combine the durability of a machine with the grace and beauty of the human body. With most people living their lives through their surrogate selves, our world has become a safer place. Take a seat in your STEM chair, and just with the power of your mind, you can control your surrogate and send it out into the real world. You can live your life without limitations. You see what they see, feel what they feel, and become anyone you want to be from the comfort and safety of your own home. You can finally live the life you've always dreamt of, without any risk or danger to yourself.
We are confronted with an unprecedented situation. Two people have died while connected to their surrogates.
I think we may actually have a homicide here. First one in 15 years.
The public cannot be allowed to get the idea that using a surrogate can be fatal.
Especially if it's true. I just want to know how an operator can be killed by signals from a surrogate.
Surrogates have been blown to bits without the least bit of harm to their operators. If it were possible, it would defeat the entire purpose of surrogacy. Oh my God, Tom?
You're lucky to be alive. Good thing you unplugged.
How long is it since you've been out without a surrogate?
I can't even remember.
It's different when you actually feel the pain.
What do you want from me?
My wife.
I am your wife.
No, you're not. You changed the world and now you want to destroy it? How do I stop this?
You can't.
Maggie, get offline. I think something's going to happen.
It's up to you.
Bruce. Brucey boy, listen. I've been a fan for a very long time. What the fuck is that? What?
Remember a while ago I said boo? I don't understand. 2 minutes later. You're not
right.
Are you?
No, I'm not.
All right. I can imagine exactly where this premise came from. Right?
Yes.
No. Other than bad words, right?
No.
What happened? What happened was someone looked at today's world. You know, someone looked at today's world with people suffering from internet whoring. Where all they do is they sit and they experience the world via their computer for 12 hours a day. And they never go outside, right? And they decided, why not apply this to a person, you know, a robot body you can control and go outside and do whatever you want. So therefore making the world the actual internet.
So wait, hang on. I actually have a question, right? In the trailer, they kind of alluded to the fact that these robots can have sex with each other. Would you feel it?
They say you feel what they feel.
So wait. Further to my question.
Feel what they feel.
You feel what they feel.
Yes.
But if see what you had see. If you had sex while you were, like, you know, the surrogate, connected to the surrogate, when you woke up and got out, would you have to change your pants?
I believe yes.
My first question has to do with silly things like logic. First of all, everyone's living through surrogates. Where exactly do the people stay?
They sleep in their bed, in their home.
Fair enough.
It's like the 13th floor, right. I guess. So, what is the 13th? Yeah, that's the name of the movie. So the 13th floor. Home,
which means, if you're going to have sex as a surrogate, I think you've made the first decision.
No, but you saw the shot of Bruce Willis, like, getting into his chair, and
he fell out and almost died.
Exactly.
But for the first shot where he gets into the chair, in order to get into the chair, previously you have to get out.
We don't know when that happens in the movie. We have no idea.
No, but you're talking about just the logic of the world, right?
So, you're going to have a surrogate out there in the world, talking to other people, and then at whatever point she does decide, you know, I'm hungry, so I'm going to leave the surrogate doing nothing. Go and have myself a snack. And come back. Which makes no sense.
Sorry. It's the purpose of having a surrogate. Could the robot eat food?
And you get
is the nutrients wirelessly downloaded into your bloodstream?
Or is it that the machine comes with food, thus destroying agriculture on a whole?
No, my question is back to the logic. How is it everyone in this world? No, not even that. How is it Bruce Willis that fit?
No, that's the surrogate.
No, not the surrogate, the real Bruce Willis.
Again,
no,
we don't
Bruce Willis. No, we do know. You see him jump out and then he's the bearded one, the, like, scruffy looking one.
Fine, but again, they say he can look like whatever he wants.
No, but he's generally, Bruce Willis is a... I see what you're saying. Because he stays
in this world, all you do is you jump into your surrogate and your surrogate does everything.
Yeah.
So the only exercise you technically get, if at all, is to get into the chair.
Maybe when you get into the chair, like it has exercises for you.
As proved by Andrew's favorite movie last year, WALL-E. After years of this, right, you lose bone marrow. Right?
That's what they said. I haven't checked it.
Biological. Call his own. I have checked Wikipedia, says right.
Oh, Wikipedia, it has to be true then.
Yes.
Yeah.
The internet have told me so. But this movie looks stupid.
Yeah, it kind of
back
does.
To the point. This movie looks. Yeah. And,
I'm very sad because generally I like Bruce Willis movies.
No,
I hope so, but I don't know.
Because I can guarantee, you know, this movie is going to break its own logic more than once.
And remember, it's not like Bruce Willis hasn't been in bad movies. Did you watch Die Hard 2?
Never mind.
Okay.
Didn't that guy do the new John Cena 13 rounds or some shit?
No.
The same director did
12 rounds, yeah.
Or whatever the hell it is. That movie.
I'm not watching it.
Which one is 12 rounds? Is that the one where the girlfriend dies and then there's
some guy, the girlfriend dies and then he's taking revenge on him.
It's the guy from The Wire, Carcetti from The Wire.
Yeah.
And it's really bad, but you don't get how bad the movie is until like 15 minutes into the movie, where you realize that at this point, nothing that happens in this movie can make it a better movie. As 15 minutes in, the movie's done. Like, there's no... You realize at that point that no matter what happens in this movie, nothing can redeem this movie. This movie is going to be bad for the next hour and 15 minutes. Just like Die Hard 2.
Alright, moving on. Because I guess you guys not approving this one.
No.
Did you like the trailer?
No.
Okay.
Anyways, moving on to our feature review of the night, it's The Class.
Pour ceux qui ne me connaissent pas, mon nom c'est Monsieur Marin.
Mademoiselle de Marin.
Mademoiselle de Marin.
Très drôle.
Et Suleiman, tu arrêtes de te balancer et tu nous lis ton autoportrait.
Je m'appelle Suleiman et j'ai rien à dire sur moi car personne ne connaît sauf moi.
C'est très très bien. Peut-être un tout petit peu long, mais très bien.
I wanted to start out with Douglas.
With me?
Yes, because you're actually a teacher. You actually work as a teacher. I wanted to know.
Small children as well. Miss Ellis forced it upon me.
Well, Douglas gets paid to do it.
I got paid. I'd have rather stayed home, but whatever.
So, Douglas, what did you think of this film?
You say that as if it is a double-edged sword, as if, you know, I hate this film.
No, well, I want you to know, like, if the fact that you're working as a teacher gave you any insight into this movie and
well,
stuff like that.
I mean, there were quite a few times where something would happen, and
I laugh every time you come home from class and you shout about your slackers and everything.
No, there were a couple of times when I looked at this thing and I was like, that's happened to me before. Well, no, not that that's happened, but like, what if that happened? That would suck. You know, and like similar things have happened in the sense that, you know, I've had to deal with disrespect and that kind of thing. But yeah, so The Class. The Class is a French movie. Or I hope it's French.
Maybe we just got French audio for no reason.
So it's a French movie about, you know, a
class
essentially. Whoa. And that's all that it is. It's the classroom and the interactions that they're in, and there's a teeny tiny bit more of a story. For like the first hour, all the movie is, you know, essentially observing this teacher and his class and how they interact with each other. And for a while I was kind of enjoying it, but I felt that my enjoyment of that first hour was because I could relate to it. As you say, I'm a teacher and, you know, that kind of thing, I can understand it. But then they finally, after an hour, set up the situation that, you know, culminates in, you know, the...
Are you someone being expelled?
Well, I wasn't going to go that far.
That's not
right. Okay, so somebody gets expelled. But it's, you know, the big scenario, the big, you know...
Confrontation
of the film. And that, I think, was good. Essentially, I watched this movie. I enjoyed the interactions. I enjoyed... first of all, I enjoyed the subtitles.
that had some funky subtitles at the beginning.
You got some funky subtitles.
Anyway, so... Overall, I think this movie is a pretty decent movie. It's very, I wouldn't even say dialogue based, because the dialogue it's clearly dialogue based, but it's more, what holds on to you is not the dialogue itself, it's almost like what's behind the dialogue. It's the, like I said, the emotional interactions. It's, you know, how people...
The interpersonal relations.
Yeah, the interpersonal relations, and how you can see, you know, for example, the teacher deals with a troubled student as opposed to the teacher dealing with somebody he knows before or likes. And what I really liked about this film was the way that they tried to show that all the bureaucracy of this teaching...
system.
Not the system, I don't want to say system. But in this school... The teachers and the way they try and, you know, map out policy and rules, it goes for naught. It's crap because nobody can agree on anything. There's no compromise found. Everybody has their own, you know, thing. I mean, they try and get a coffee maker, but they're not sure about that. Right. They try and institute some sort of disciplinary rules, but they don't know about that. And so essentially all it is these... people that are set in their ways, and once you have a formula that is already set out, that's what has to happen.
Right, they just use it.
Exactly. And there's no way, or not that there's no way.
There's not a lot of wiggle room.
Exactly, no wiggle room, and on top of that, there are no new formulas. No new formulas can be implemented because
they can't be agreed on.
Exactly, basically. They can't be agreed on. And I like that. Actually, for a very long time, when I was watching, you know the scene where they're talking about the reports?
Yeah.
I couldn't understand why those two girls were in there for a long time.
I was wondering about that. And it made me think about when I was at high school. I wonder if that's how they got all their comments.
Not on Andrew. if they
had a room where they were all like, let's talk about Andrew. Andrew's an asshole.
I don't think so. I can tell you from my personal experience. I mean, I don't teach at a proper school. Sorry. Well, I shouldn't say it that way.
I'm going to cut that audio and send that directly to Mr. Bell.
I don't work at a school that is institutionalized in the way that this is
shack that teaches math to the stupid.
I'm totally sending that clip to Mr. Bell. I'm sorry.
So awesome. I probably
don't need to fix anything. I'll be like, I'm start out with, I am a teacher and I don't teach at the proper school.
I don't teach real students.
and then he'll pull something from the review, so he will say, I'm a teacher at a proper school, and then I'll say, nothing gets implemented.
Nothing gets done.
The bureaucracy is ridiculous.
This is shitty.
I don't even think I've said that word.
Did it to describe some of those horrible trailers.
Oh, this will be fun.
Anyways, but yeah, so I don't work somewhere where that type of bureaucracy is, you know,
again proper.
It's not a public school.
So I had to actually do a report like that, and I just personally did it. I kind of wrote down, this person is crap, this person is awesome, this person can suck my balls,
you know
that kind of thing.
This school is crap. Mr. Bell, son asshole.
Not my voice.
Russell Bell, you're awesome.
But okay, so I think I connected with this movie, and I think that you're right. The reason I connected with it so much is because I can relate to it due to the fact that I teach as well. But that said, I think that even if I couldn't, that I would still maybe not enjoy this movie, but appreciate it for what it is and realize that it is a really good movie.
I have to agree with you on every sentiment.
You teach and Mr. Bill's crap.
I'm not as much of a teacher as Douglas, but in the job that I do at school, I work as a lab technician. It involves me having to teach first years.
I've seen him work, and that's a lie. And he doesn't teach shit.
It involves me having to help a lot of first year students, and basically anyone who comes into the lab asking questions
how
about.
How come you never help me? I don't understand.
Do you ever ask me how to write algorithms properly?
That's right.
Or what syntax to use in a C program or whatever?
Sure, I have that some.
Yeah,
help
one day.
With my account,
and I do get a lot of that feeling from the film, because I have had lots of people who have helped. I don't want to use the word taught, right? Helped. And I've actually, like, there was one person this year who I actually drew out of the class and was like, hey, you might want to drop this course. Because no matter what I did, he couldn't figure it. It's like he was an older individual, right? And it was an older individual using a computer. It felt like someone who had never used a computer before.
Can I tell you?
Doing a coding course.
I don't understand what old people are doing when they do computers. They double click when, you know, they
And just to let all our listeners know, this is Douglas talking about his boss. And
no, it's
his
not.
Real
I'm
work.
Talking about mommy, right? Mommy don't know how to answer her email. Mommy phones me, my mother phones me while I'm at work to ask me how to turn on the television. Right? She'll turn on the television and she'll see like a blue screen.
It's a DVD screen.
It's the DVD screen. And she doesn't say it to herself, let me press the button.
Okay, so I've got to watch the movies today. Douglas.
She phones me and asks me, how do I watch television?
So I'll just switch from DVD to cable.
Exactly.
Could you go away, please? Not talking.
So yeah, I did get a lot of connection with the film in that sense. And one thing that I found I enjoyed a lot.
The Audrey jersey.
That put a tear. I watched this film. I watched this movie today, right before the podcast, and right after the Champions League match, which we have referenced at least 10 times so far in this episode.
Right? Wait, sorry, what happened with that match?
Yeah. I didn't get to see that.
Apparently, Barcelona beat Man U in the final. And at one point, you look out in the playground, and I could spot one child wearing a Barcelona jersey with the Henry on the back. And I had a tear immediately.
Oh, you're a sad man. Sad little man.
But stepping away from that, right? This movie offered so much into the insight of the frustration a teacher can get from students, whether it be
skank
or
whore.
No, or
he didn't say whore. And he didn't mean it in that way anyway.
Andrew, come on. You meant giddy little schoolgirl.
Like,
I'm going to skank.
Like, what's the this is actually a French
actually
teacher.
That's what he should have said, because skank is also a dance. He could have said that they were just dancing around the place,
good luck
doing
with
the
that
skank.
One. Yeah, that would have well as his actual explanation.
You know what, the actual literal definition from the good English dictionary?
Listen to me. One of them conjugated swim into swum, swummed.
Swamming.
Swamming. Dying.
That scene had me laughing
so
much. That reminded me of when I was in fourth form and I just reached Campion and I went into Spanish class for the first time.
They were like speaking on
and I sat in there. I had done Spanish at St. George's, you know,
I'm
for
sure,
3 years.
I'm sure you did.
And then I went to Campion for CXE's fourth form Spanish. And she starts talking. I mean, I swear, the only thing I picked up was hola. And then my name. And then she pointed at me. She's like, and I was like, oh, should I stand up? Person behind me was like, yeah, you should stand up. And I stood up and she was like asking me a reel of questions. And I was like, I don't understand you.
Stick up in here.
What? And for the first month of that Spanish class, the entire class had to always translate for me little words, like, out loud. Like, you know, I'd be like, she'd ask me, how was your day? And I'd be like, what was that word? It was day.
You know, you're going to fail because of your friends. I've had enough of this.
I went on to
He's
pass
holding
Spanish.
Us back.
I went on to pass Spanish.
CFC Spanish. Oh. I can see it's helped you so much.
I never did it ever again.
Shocking.
But I mean, so this movie was really refreshing to me, because especially as a teacher's film, because most teachers' films take us like to the student's house, to the parent's home, to the teacher's home, to see his environment, to see the children's environment, while all we're seeing is the 1 hour per day that we're seeing that the teacher meets the actual student.
And you know,
none of these teachers that hold the student's hand and says, you know, I'm going to get you out of this drug addiction.
Exactly. that's another thing. It doesn't hero. If I
it does
this
to
person.
Some extent, but
no,
not
really. No, it does not. First of all, this guy calls his students skanks.
Skanks, yeah.
All right.
Anything that he was trying to do, all the praise that was being heaped on him, like after he did like the self appraisal and was helping all the students to feel better, the second that skank thing,
yeah,
and the fight, that was it.
Yeah. So no. Here's the thing. The thing about it is,
and
most teacher movies
would
make
have found
this,
a way.
Yeah, make this guy a hero.
To nice up the ending.
Yeah,
like,
and
he'd
also
have found some way to protect all his students.
Exactly. But, you know, this movie, he doesn't. He's just like,
he's just
boy,
a, he's
I
just
messed
a
up. And,
that you dig it?
Yeah.
Well, you know. You see, here's the thing, right? Yes, it doesn't hero. It doesn't make him much of a hero for that incident. However, I consider him somewhat of a hero in the film because of how good a teacher he is. And
is
not,
he a good teacher?
I thought he was a good teacher because he found ways to engage the class even when he could see that they were like not paying attention or whatever. And he found ways,
in the
Kang
classroom.
Gets attention.
No, I'm putting that aside. You know, during the beginning, like,
Kang,
you know, the self portrait stuff. Or,
yeah, he said
there was a lot of shut up. The guys trying to do something at the board kind of stuff, like swimming.
I love his sarcasm though. I mean, he obliterated some of these children. Like, oh yeah, laugh of time and you just has done. So I'm like, oh, that's perfect. That's the motivation they need.
I'm sorry, I have to say, sometimes I'm like that too. I'm exactly like that. Like, for example, I had a class just 2 days ago, the night before the exam, and there was this one kid, I was just kind of reeling into him. He was saying some stupid, and I'm like, oh, really? That's how it, and then he said something, and I'd be like, no, that's wrong.
So you're an idiot.
No, I didn't go that
far. Your mother's a
scam. I've called many people in my labs
because you're not actually a teacher. You can call them idiots. If one of your lecturers looked at anybody in the class and said, "Are you stupid?" You have gone. No, we're putting you up for review. No, it's not going to fly. So,
Damon, what did you think of this film?
As I'm the one that picked this film,
yeah,
and I saw it a good many months ago, I was just impressed on how literal. I mean, when the movie is called The Class, and it's called The Class for a reason, they stick to events that happen inside the class. As you guys have already mentioned, you know, most other teacher movies, some of it is about the class, and then they talk about other people, and there's an overarching story using the class as the middle ground to tell the story. This had none of that. The class was the class.
Jesus.
And these come use a good movie. No,
I was upset by that movie. What the crap?
Like 20 minutes of the movie was good. The last 20 minutes. Never mind that. The class. So I've been fortunate/unfortunate, depending on how you look at it. I've seemingly surrounded myself with teachers. You know, Miss Ellis, she's my aunt/teacher for high school for the 7 years. So I had her as a teacher. One of my sisters teach. My best friend Joel, all his parents teach. You teach. I have a couple of friends from where I used to live. All of them.
I teach.
No. All of them teach. I mean, I have a lot of teachers surrounding me. It's kind of amazing because I'm a terrible student. But whatever. I was impressed that this movie just took the camera stayed focused on what happens inside the class, and it went through the ups and downs of the class, and there was times when you thought that he was going to, you know, stray away from that a little. Like he fell out with several of the students over the course of the movies.
Yeah.
The movie, sorry. But it never gave you it didn't flashback and give you a backstory as to why the person is behaving like this or whatever. A lot of it is unresolved. To a minor extent, it's nothing that's going to distract you that much from the movie. I was really impressed by the acting in this movie. These kids did. You could look at it and say, you know, they're pretending to be in class. So it's not really... That's what they do day to day anyway. So mm-hmm. But still, when there's a camera pointed at you, I'm sure...
And not just that. These are things that you have to say based on somebody saying
right.
That you have to say it.
There's times that this movie was really... there's humor in this movie where you wouldn't expect it. Like, it just comes out of the blue. You've heard us say it, the teacher calls these two girls skanks, and there's just no... I mean, it is the implications of it is really serious, But there's no way to look past the humor in what he said, especially when he tries to defend what he said.
I didn't call you skank, so I said you were acting as if you were a skank. What the hell?
I was just... Right? And then the way he... his attitude towards children, the way he uses sarcasm, the way he uses his body language... I like how most of the class, he's like, he starts the class by shouting at them and like hitting the desk and saying, "Oi, oi, oi, come here." So it makes you feel as if it's a real class. And I mean, some of the dialogue in this movie is just so fantastic. I mean, I don't know who wrote because there's a point where they're conjugating swim.
We've mentioned it at least three times already.
Good lord. Hilarious. And
so almost as good as the first set of subtitles, right?
at the end of the movie, though, there's this big problem. There's this kid that was being threatened to be expelled and eventually got expelled because the system is so rigid that once a student is called to what did they call it? Like
a review,
a disciplinary review.
Hearing, right? Yeah.
It's already done. Like no one has escaped. It's like maximum security.
Yeah.
Like crazy. And they were trying
Alcatraz.
They were trying to you know, set it up. If it was a lesser movie, they would have set that up, and because he is this teacher and he had something to do with it, he would have found a way to, you know, get him absolved of the punishment or falling on some imaginary sword, but none of that happened, right? The movie treated us, the viewers, as adults, and I like that, right? I've been listening to the Creative Screenwriting Podcast, and one of the things that keeps coming out with most of these writers is that when you write, you have to be careful not to give too much information or you'll just end up sounding foolish. Like, a policeman wouldn't say to another policeman, "But I'm a policeman," right? At no point in the movie, because they'd have known that they're both policemen. So if you put that in a movie, it runs the risk of you painting the audience as idiots. And I like that they didn't do that in this movie. This movie is well constructed, it's well done, it's basically a snapshot of a classroom. I watched the first half of this movie without subtitles because the first set I got didn't work, and it is amazing how far off I was on some of the things when I actually, because you know, I'm not fluent in French or any other language for that matter. So when I watched it the second time with the subtitles, yeah, was off. But this, I mean, I would recommend this movie to anybody. We've all been to school.
We need to give Mr. Bell a copy of this to see.
And I mean, some of these children are like children of the corn.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible, horrible children. And just to see how he deals with them. I mean, this movie.
And he doesn't. You know what I like about this movie? He doesn't deal with them the same way that a lot of teachers in a lot of movies would deal with them.
Right.
He doesn't take this... I don't want to say
moral
stand,
high
but,
ground.
Yeah, not even moral high ground, but he doesn't find a way to somehow magically get
everybody
to look
on
him.
The same...
No,
right.
He just kind of tries to soldier through.
Right.
And he makes mistakes as everybody does. And I love that. He's not...
Mr. Perfect.
He's not the Messiah.
It's not the Dead Poets Society.
Exactly. That word is not allowed.
Oh.
Messiah.
Yes. Messiah. It's not the Dead Poets. And I also saw that movie. Because I knew we were reviewing this, I went back and I watched that movie. And
Dead Poets Society, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There are similarities, mm-hmm. but...
it's a good movie,
in
but...
Thematically, it's polar opposite.
It. You know what that movie?
I haven't seen it. Dead Poets Society.
Robin Williams.
I know about it.
Like, they run over every cliche button. But I think at the time it wasn't cliche for them to do so.
Looking back,
you can say, yeah, they drew like every cliche point, they ran headfirst into it. This movie does none of that. They treat the viewership as adults. The children use language that you expect children to use, and the teacher uses language that you kind of expect that he would use. I mean, the skanks thing was hilarious and a bit overboard because you didn't expect it. But I think that's what, you know, that made the film so much more engaging. And I mean, when I saw this movie, it was good. And I saw it again, I know it's just, I mean, it gets better every time. I've seen it 3 times now, and it's better every time I see it. This movie's just great. Teachers should force children to watch it. We should force teachers to watch it and then have. This is. Because we used to have personal development or some atrocious class. And they showed us terrible movies. We'd watch movies like this. This is movies that children need to see. To gain. I mean, even if they don't gain any appreciation for film itself, they'll at least they'll connect with at least one student in the class and see what it is that they're putting the teachers through. Whether they changes them or not, just giving them that perspective at whatever age can be harmful.
Yeah. So I guess we're pretty much in agreeing. We all agreed. This movie is amazing.
It's
and
an A plus, but it's definitely A minus.
I think I'd give it an A plus.
I don't know if I would. But then I think.
But
that's
again,
because I'm very careful.
Right. More
my
like
standards
if,
are low.
We know that, Manu.
I have to get one more in before the end of the show.
If, I mean, time disappears when I watch this movie, though. So, maybe in a couple of years.
Yeah, I actually noticed that.
To Dark
because
Knight status.
Last night I started watching this movie at, say, not 12, I think it was like 11:30. And I said to myself, boy, I don't know how much I'm going to be able to watch tonight. And I didn't stop until 1. I would have gone to the end of the movie if it weren't for the fact that, you know, I had
you
work in the morning.
That, yeah, I didn't sleep. This movie doesn't drag at all.
No. So, yeah, that's just about it.
I've never seen a 14-year-old girl with those big breasts. It's quite amazing. Quite impressive, I must say. That black girl, it's not bad. Where was she?
That's illegal.
Where was she when I was in high school?
Not in certain countries.
What countries is that?
I think Thailand is okay.
No, never mind. It's 4 years. I'll wait for it.
Exactly. It's not illegal to wait.
Actually, probably 3 because I need to put that on a shirt. Actually, it's probably only 3 years because it's from last year.
They would change the name of the podcast.
And on that note, I'd like to sign off. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
And that was the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
And remember, kids, it's not illegal.
and remember, listen. You guys, you can listen to us at gmanreviews.com. Or on the podcast alley, or, you know, iTunes, if you may.
Search for G-Man Reviews.
Search for G-Man Reviews on iTunes, and you'll find us. If you want, you can send Andrew an email at andrew.robinson@gmanreviews, or me, I'm just Douglas@gmanreviews. And Andrew's name on Twitter, what's your Twitter name?
Reviews.
Oh, boy, very creative. And my name is DJ, I lost his name. So, I think that's about it. Wait, I'd like to say, when are we going to talk about Cannes?
Now that it's done.
I'm going to talk to Alex and hopefully we can do that next week.
Okay, so hopefully next week we'll be talking about Cannes. Alex Billington, fingers crossed, knocked on wood, all of that good stuff will be on next week.
You have a better shot of
Forgive him, he's from Barcelona. So we'll talk to you next week.
Champions of Europe.